God good today? Amen. You know what? I would bathe in ice water if we could have baptisms every week. Amen. Such a wonderful, beautiful time when we make that public declaration of whose we are, and it is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew 18. Yeah, there we go. You know, there once was a man who loved horses. He was crazy about horses. Is anybody like that in here? Do we have any horse lovers? Yeah. They're beautiful animals, aren't they? This man loved them so much. He had several horses on his farm, and he... Uh-oh. Everything's fine, I'm sure. He had several horses on his farm. He had pictures of horses throughout his house. He wrote books about horses and how wonderful they were. One day, he was repairing his home. It was a wonderful 200-year-old farmhouse, very vintage. And he had hand-planed some red oak boards to bring it back to mint condition. He was so proud of it. And after he finished one day, he was walking around his home when he noticed his favorite horse was chewing on the trim of his house. Well, he shooed it away. Go on, get out of here, you know. And he still had some boards left, so he made the repairs and everything was fine again. Well, the next morning, the same thing happened. The horse was chewing on his house. Well, this time he thought he'd put up a fence, and he did, but that didn't do any good at all because the horse just jumped over the fence and started chewing again. He shooed it away. The next day, he came out of his front door, and there was the horse again, chewing on his house, chewing on the boards. Well, he spun around, went right back in the house, brought out a rifle, shot the horse dead. His neighbor heard the shot, runs over to see the dead horse and says, "What are you doing? I thought you loved horses." And he said, "I do. I love horses. I love the whole idea of horses, but not when they chew on my home." Today I want to talk about forgiveness. It's a big word, forgiveness. And we may be like the horse lover in the story I just told you. We may love forgiveness in the abstract. We may love the idea of forgiveness when it pertains to us. But what about when it's chewing on our home? What about when where we live, where we're at, when we're the ones who needs to forgive? How do we feel about it then? Sometimes I know we lose patience and we see and magnify the chew marks of our life instead of the beauty of forgiveness. And you know, there are problems in every relationship. And since we are imperfect people, we are bound to have problems with forgiveness. If you and I want to have relationships though that last throughout the ages, we must be willing to extend forgiveness to those around us. We're all going to mess up. But make no mistake about it this morning. Forgiveness is costly. It's not always easy to ask for forgiveness or to extend it to those that have messed us up, messed with us. Forgiveness, I like this saying, forgiveness is the virtue we most enjoy and least employ. Forgiveness is not natural. That's why it's so hard for us to do. We have a sense of justice within us, and it doesn't seem fair, and there's nothing fair about it. It is grace. Forgiveness, I want to look at this familiar portion of Scripture in Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35, if you'll turn there, please. I'm really comfortable right now, actually. This is kind of the way to go. Okay, Matthew 18. Follow with me as I start at 21. It says, "Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?' Jesus answered, 'I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times,'" which actually means 70 times seven. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said. 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owes. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Please pray with me today. Lord, we thank you, O God, for your word. Sometimes it's not comfortable, but Lord, we thank you for it because it tells us truth. Help us, O God, to open our hearts, open our minds, and let us put down our pride in this issue of forgiveness. I pray, O God, you'll bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter is asking this of Christ. And you know what? Of all the people in the Bible, Peter seems to be the most calculating to me. As you scan the Gospels, you'll find that he's always trying to pin down Jesus on the exact meaning of everything Jesus said. A man of numbers, that's who Peter was. As in John chapter 21, you'll find that Jesus allowed them to have this miraculous catch of fish. Remember, the nets were bursting. It was Peter who counted the fish. There was 153 of them, it says in the Bible. And, many theologians have tried to, rack their brains. What does 153 mean? Mostly what I've been able to research, it means there was 153 of the fish. I don't know that there's necessarily any theological issue there. But anyway, Peter was a numbers guy. He liked numbers. And so he asked Jesus in Matthew 18 and 21, again it says, "Peter came to Jesus and asked, 'How many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me?' Up to seven times." This is somewhat humorous when we're talking about Peter because he messed up a great deal, at least seven times, probably quite a bit more. And he was in need of forgiveness. But he wants to know how many times he has to forgive. Peter was trying to discover a mathematical formula for the grace of God. But it doesn't work. When we think about it, we also tend to want a scale on what people can do to us, don't we? We want a limit. We want a threshold that we don't have to cross when it comes to people wronging us. A limit We won't go beyond. And unfortunately, so many times, that limit is really small. Have you ever heard the old saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So we have a very low threshold ordinarily. Who was Peter talking about in verse 21? If my brother wrongs me. We don't know. It could have been a brother in Christ. It could have been a actual biological brother. It might have been Andrew. We don't know what it was. Maybe Andrew didn't clean out the fishing boat when he was supposed to. We don't know. Maybe he borrowed Peter's sandals and wore them out. You know, whatever it was, though, Peter was asking Jesus how many times? Seven times. And I really think that Peter thought he was being, I thought he was giving Jesus a suggestion like, oh, Jesus is going to be impressed with me. Seven times? That's a big number. The number of completeness. Seven times? Because in that day and age, the Jewish rabbis taught that three times was enough. If you forgave your brother three times, you could do whatever you wanted on the fourth time. You know, there was no limit. Three times. As a matter of fact, they foolishly, the rabbis, taught that God only forgave three times. I know that's not true. How about you? We all know that. So Peter probably thought his answer would impress Jesus. And you know, I got to say, I like Peter. I like him a lot because he's like that friend that we all had in school. Do you know who I mean? Where maybe both of you were kind of messing around, not paying attention to the teacher. But you knew that he was going to be the one to ask the question that you both needed to know. You know, and he would. And the teacher would say something like, well, Mr. So-and-so, I just went over that, et cetera, et cetera. He would take the heat. That was Peter. Peter would always ask those questions that we all needed to know. After Peter picks himself off the floor, after Jesus tells him 70 times 7, you know, Peter gets out his pocket calculator and 490 times, Jesus, are you serious? That's what Jesus was saying, 70 times 7. Now, do we think it was really 490? No. What Jesus was saying, throw the books away. You don't need to know. You don't need to keep track. Freely you have been given, freely give. How many times has the Lord forgiven us of all that we've done? Jesus was saying to Peter to throw it away. Don't keep score. It's like any kind of grace. Forgiveness has that great quality of being unmerited, unfair, and undeserved. Jesus then tells a story that I just read to help Peter understand. And I think to help us understand this morning. The first part of the story had to do with those who needed forgiveness. In other words, it's everyone in this room right here. The second part deals with those of us who need to forgive others. As we pick up the story in verse 23, it says this, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents. How much is a talent? We talked about this just last Wednesday night in our Bible study. And I had found some research that said that a talent was 75 pounds, approximately, 75 pounds of whatever metal the transaction was in. If it was silver, 75 pounds of silver. If it was gold, much smaller amount, but 75 pounds of silver, bronze, etc. So we're talking about a lot of money here, 10,000 of those 75 pounds. We're talking about big, big bucks. 10,000 talents was millions of dollars. We don't know how this servant ran up that much. But we know how we run up that much with the Lord, don't we? We're all sinners, saved by grace. And we run up a tally, but Jesus forgives our sins. Someone has estimated that in today's value, it'd be like $25 million that this servant owed. The servant now falls to his knees and asks the master to be patient, and he will pay back everything. He's not going to be able to pay back everything, is he? The master then does something he's not even asked to do. The master forgives. He forgives, he releases him. Get this, he cancels his debt. That is a good explanation of what forgiveness truly is. A cancellation of a debt. Has anybody ever gotten their mortgage back in the mail? And you get to burn that mortgage payment. Burn that paper. Cancellation. The man owed the master nothing. That is what forgiveness is. I cancel the debt. You owe me nothing. You are free to go. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked someone to forgive them? I hope you have. I have before. And it makes us feel nervous, doesn't it? It makes us feel vulnerable. It makes us feel exposed. That uncertainty. But when we do, I'm sure most of you can testify that there is a sense of a burden lifted when we ask someone to please forgive us. And I believe that we break through the ceiling of pride that we all too often live under. So that was the first part of the story here about asking someone to forgive us. Now the next part is deals with us forgiving others. Now this same man that had just been forgiven so much runs into someone that owes him a few denarii, which my study Bible says was just a few bucks. You know, 25 million, just a few bucks. And starts, he sees that person that owes him very little, and he starts to choke him, and saying, pay me back. And I wonder this morning, is that the picture of us? Are we so blinded by the grace Jesus has extended to us that we have no tolerance for just a few bucks that someone may owe us, or any kind of indiscretion, any kind of burden that they've put on us? I hope we're not that way. If we are a believer in Christ, if we are have our sins forgiven, if we have been washed clean in the blood of Jesus, I hope that we're not like that. I hope we realize, do we have amnesia about the 10,000 talents God has forgiven us? Does the parable this morning make us uncomfortable? If it does, maybe that's a good thing. I hope we are not like the poet Heinrich Heine. Okay, here's what old Heinrich has to say. My nature, this is Heinrich, okay? He says, my nature is the most peaceful in the world. All I ask is a simple cottage, a decent bed, good food, some flowers in front of my window, and a few trees beside my door. Few trees. Then, if God wanted to make me completely happy, he would let me enjoy the spectacle of six or seven of my enemies dangling from those trees. I would forgive them all the wrongs they have done to me from the bottom of my heart. For we must forgive our enemies, but not until they are hanged. Now, Heinrich said that tongue in cheek, but I hope we're not like that. I know that's a little graphic, but do we really want the people that have wronged us to be punished, to pay? Are we a lot like this man in verse 30 when he throws the person that owes him just a little bit into prison? Are we like that? Do you ever throw people into prison? Well, you're saying, what are you talking about, Pastor? We throw people in prison sometimes. Do we throw them in the prison of the silent treatment? Do you know where I'm going now? Do we treat them like that? Do we simply ignore that they exist? Are you holding hostage right now anyone? Are you trying to make them feel miserable? You're putting them in a prison. Do you have a few people hanging in the backyard of your mind right now that you need to forgive? I want to reread verse 31 real quickly here. It says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. See, word got out. And the king was upset. The master was upset. Not that he just, this man wouldn't forgive, but after all that he'd been forgiven, he wouldn't forgive. He didn't learn from the master. We need to learn from the master. We need to stop our prideful life and look at what God has done for us. Verse 32 says this. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. What happened to that man will happen to us if we do not make the decision to forgive. Don't make it more complicated than it is. Forgiveness is just deciding to let them go. We need to move on. The torturers are going to come and take us away. The king told the torturers to come and take him away and to torture him. Well, you say again, what do you mean by torturers? Nobody's going to torture us. Oh, yeah? How about the torturers of anger and bitterness in our life? When we just decide to hold that in, that grudge, it's a torture of frustration that gives us ulcers, high blood pressure, migraine headaches. That hidden torture that make us lie awake through the hours of the night and suck every bit of joy from our lives. Have you ever been there? Have you ever laid in bed? This is important to me because I've been there. Laid in bed. We have a ceiling fan in the middle of our ceiling. And I could tell you every square millimeter of that thing because I can't sleep. It's on my mind. I'm frustrated. And I just stare at the ceiling. That's what it can be. We're stewing over a wrong done to us that because we simply won't forgive. Forgiveness is a decision. Did you hear about the two men in the nursing home? They were arguing for years. Grumpy old men, right? And they were arguing and arguing. Well, one of them thought that he was truly on his deathbed. He thought this was it. And so he called his foe over to his bed and said, John, I forgive you for what you have said and done against me over the years, and I want you to do the same for me. Well, the other man, visibly moved, with tears running out of his eyes, agreed that he too would like to forgive and to be forgiven. Then the man in the bed said, but if I get better, this doesn't count. I hope we're not like that too. That we that we make an escape route for forgiveness, you know. Don't wait for your deathbed to clear things up, to clear them off the books. If we don't forgive, we truly remain bound to the people we will not forgive. Who knows that this is true in your own experience? I do. I like what a fellow named Lewis Smead says. He said, this is really good, profound. When I genuinely forgive, I set a prisoner free and then discovered that the prisoner I set free was me. That is so true. I can tell you this morning that we are a lot like the unforgiving man in Jesus' story. It's like the landfill north of Cuba, you know. Every day more trash comes in and adds to the mountain of our sins. And yet, out of compassion for our moral predicament and motivated by the unbelievable grace of Jesus, God sent Jesus to pay off our spiritual debt. And that is the key of how you can forgive others. I love what it says in Colossians 3:13. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You know, I wasn't going to talk all this time and not give you a way out. Just decide to forgive. No, it's because of what Christ has done that has changed our life, changed our future. We can forgive. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, what does this sermon mean to you today? What is the takeaway for you? Do you need to ask someone to forgive you? Have you wronged someone and need to go to them, clear it up? Number two, do you need to give someone else the gift of forgiveness? Do you need to breathe the air of peace again? Number three, do you need divine forgiveness? Do you need to admit your sin to an amazing God and ask God to release you, to cancel your debt? That is the question. Ernest Hemingway, the famous author, you know, he loved to write about the country of Spain. And in his short story called The Capital of the World, Hemingway tells of a father and son who had stopped talking to each other. It was really bad. Finally, the son left home, ran off. But the father wanted to find him so bad after a few years. He looked everywhere. He wanted to mend that relationship of father and son. When he came to the capital city of Madrid, Spain, he took out a full-page ad in the paper that said this in big, bold letters. It said, Paco, please meet me at 12 noon tomorrow in front of the newspaper office. All is forgiven. I love you, your father. That's all it said. You know, the next day there was 200 men named Paco that was at the newspaper office. What does that tell you? That tells you that we all need forgiveness, don't we? We all seek forgiveness. We should want to extend forgiveness. We should make forgiveness a part of our life. Well, you don't know what they did. No, I don't. But I know that God's forgiveness of us is so strong, so powerful. He will give us power to forgive the unforgivable. I know that is true. If you'd all please bow your heads with me today. I want to ask you this morning three simple questions. No one looking around, please. Do you need to ask forgiveness of someone? If you are thinking of a name right now with no one looking around, just raise your hand real quickly. Yes. God bless you. Number two, do you need to extend forgiveness to someone? Have you been nursing a grudge that's eating you alive? Are you ready to forgive the debt? If that is you this morning, please raise your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, we need to extend forgiveness. We can do it in the power of Christ. And number three, do you need to admit your sins to a holy God? A holy God, and ask forgiveness. If you haven't done that before, now is the time. Today is the day, as we witnessed in the baptism. It's a beautiful, beautiful time when we say, yes, Lord, take everything from me. Take what I've done from me. I'm carrying a burden, and I need you to forgive me. I want to follow you with all I have. If that is you, please raise your hand. Yes, I see those hands. Glory to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are beautiful in this place. Lord, it's been a time of joy this morning as young ladies come to you and say, be my Lord. As they say, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of you, Lord. I want to have a public declaration. And that's what we witnessed here today. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless each of them and that we as a church will support them and come and help them and be strong for them, Lord, as they start this new life devoted unto you. We thank you so much for this, Lord. And we are in awe of you today. Your goodness, Lord, even with the world coming apart, you are solid, Lord. You are consistent. You don't change. You don't need to change, Lord. You're perfect. And I thank you, Lord, that we have had a chance just to hear from your word, not anything I said. Your word, Lord, teaches us that we must forgive. In your prayer, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, your word is full of us bowing to you, throwing aside the pride of life, and clinging to you. We just thank you so much in this place. We ask you to bless your people. In Jesus' holy name, amen.